take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians. Galatians, we're going to pick up in the last verse of chapter 5, and then continue on to the fifth verse of chapter 6. This is the holy word of God. Listen carefully. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in him alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own work. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And the congregation said, Amen. As the book of Galatians draws to a close, we've noticed a change. The beginning was all about theology, correct error, and now it's about sanctification, or how our theology is applied to everyday life. We heard last week that we are to keep in step with the Spirit. And that sounds wonderful and good, but at times we wonder, what does that look like? So let me give you an example from the U.S. news. There was a story, you can see it online if you want to. In 2016, CBS News did a story on two men, Jameel McGee and Anthony Collins. They're from Michigan, from a small town in western Michigan. In 2005, Anthony was a police officer. He ruined Jameel's life. See, Anthony's goal was to be the best officer he could. And so he began to lie and falsify reports. He even began to plant evidence on individuals. And Jameel, unfortunately, was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And Anthony showed up and accused him of being a drug dealer. He falsified the report, and Jameel was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Eventually, Anthony was caught. Anthony was sent to prison for a year and a half. And all the arrests he'd done, most were exonerated. Jameel, after spending 3 years in prison, was exonerated. He returned back to that small town in Michigan. And he talked about in this report that all he could think about in prison was revenge. That's all he wanted to, and yet, in prison, he heard the gospel, and it's interesting when you listen to him, he said every time he thought of revenge, a little voice said, let it go. On a fateful day, in a park, Jameel's walking along, and guess who he runs into? Anthony. The first meeting didn't go very well. Jameel cussed him out. Man ruined his life. But God wasn't done yet. In his providence, Jameel needed help with work and showed up at a Christian coffee shop that taught about business and work. And he showed up to be assigned a mentor. Guess who that mentor was? Anthony. And all Anthony could do was ask for forgiveness. And Jameel forgave him. And it's interesting in that report, in the report, because the reporter has no category for this. And so he asks, how could you forgive the man who ruined your life? Took away everything. And I love Jamil's answer. His answer was this: for all our sakes. He did it for all our sakes. These two men, their lives were devastated by sin, and yet through Christ, they are now actually working together. They are declaring the gospel together, and Anthony says that Jamil is closer to him than most of his family members. I've actually written a book together on this very incident. It's a great example of what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. See, this letter of theology is given to transform lives. Having confronted error with right doctrine, Paul now is showing us in chapter 5 and 6 how that right doctrine is lived out. And we've been told what it's like. It is to keep in step with the Spirit. And the last verse of chapter 5 shows us the opposite of that command. Conceit and envy is never living by the Spirit. Again, think of Jamil and Anthony. What happened? What would happen if conceit and envy ruled their lives? That there would be no forgiveness. There would be no repentance. Just ruined lives. Conceit and envy are all about pride. Conceit is our pride telling us that we are better than we are. Okay? Conceit tells us that we are superior and everyone else should be like us. Envy is also about pride. We look at what others have and we wish that we could have what they have, or we wish we could be like them. We are hard done by. It's pride. Both conceit and envy reveal insecurity. Both reveal we are not living in the freedom of Christ. Both reveal our identity is not grounded in Christ, but in ourselves. And so we compare ourselves to one another. And Paul tells us earlier in chapter 5, this type of life leads to us biting and devouring one another. And then in verse 3 of chapter 6, that warning is picked up when Paul says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. To have conceit or envy is to be deceived. And the warnings of chapter 5, verse 26, and chapter 6, verse 3, reveal to us one crucial aspect about living by the Spirit. To live by the Spirit, or to keep in step with the Spirit, we must be humble. Salvation was given to us while we were enemies of God. We have nothing to boast in save for Christ. All we receive is from God. For instance, have you ever pondered, children, adults, have you ever pondered why you were born in Canada and not a place like Burundi, poorest nation on earth? Why were you born here and not somewhere else? And none of us can say, because we deserve it. Right? It's God's providence. Our health, our wealth, our families, every opportunity we have received is from the hand of our good God. We can't look at anything and say, I deserve this. It's all from God. We're unworthy of it. And Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 17. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he is coming from the field, come at once and recline a table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. See, the gospel transforms us from being proud to humble. Pride's greatest concern is reputation. And yet the gospel reveals who we are without Christ. We are unworthy. As Titus 3 declares, without Christ we are hated by others and hating one another. I mean, doesn't that just describe our culture? The gospel declares everything comes from God bestowing his blessing on the just and the wicked. Salvation is a gift to those who are unworthy. You worship God because he saved someone who was unworthy. We seek God because we grasp apart from him we are unworthy. Therefore, all who profess Christ should be humble. There's nothing to boast in save for Christ. Now, the reason why I begin here is because everything else Paul is going to ask us to do in the remaining chapter is impossible if we are not humble. Apart from Christ, we are condemned sinners. United to Christ, we are beloved children of God because of God, not us. What is there to boast in you apart from Christ? Which one of us would dare boast that what we have came from our own hands? I mean, that's the height of arrogance, isn't it? If we don't get to determine what country and what family we are born into, what arrogance it is to think that we have something because of us. It is from God. A Christian humbly grasps all we are is because of God. And therefore, we are to live humbly before one another and the watching world. So to live in step with the Spirit means we will have a humble life. We will think soberly about ourselves. That's not all that we will do. As these verses reveal, to live by the Spirit means we will also have an examined life. Look at verses 4 and 5 with me. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. One who keeps in step with the Spirit has to examine their own work. One filled with conceit and envy just examines others. Right? If we are full of insecurity, then we are full of conceit and envy, and all we do is compare ourselves. We're better than so-and-so, or we wish we had what they had. That's not keeping in step with the Spirit. The one who lives by the Spirit humbly tests their own works. And Paul challenges not only the Galatians, but also the Corinthians to examine their faith. For one, united to Christ, the worst thing that testing our own faith reveals is where we must repent. See, one saved by Christ doesn't want anything of the old life to remain, because it's unworthy. It is worthless. And so we want our lives to be examined by the Spirit. We want to be rid of the old man. We want to be filled with a new creation. And so we will take a passage like Colossians 3:17 literally. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And therefore, families will take Colossians 3, Ephesians 5 and 6, 1 Peter 3, and examine their relationships with one another. Co-workers, employees, and employers will test themselves according to Colossians 3 and 4, Ephesians 6, and 1 Peter 2 to confirm that they're glorifying God in their vocations. We will examine our response to civil leaders by examining Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. We will test ourselves how we respond to one another in the church by using 1 Peter 5, Hebrews 13, 1 Timothy 5, and Titus 2 and 3. See, we grasp that we must bear our own load when it comes to our holiness. We never ride the coattails of another except for Christ. Right? Ministers and elders, they can urge, plead, warn, and discipline, but they cannot make you holy, or they are not responsible for you keeping in step with the Spirit. The only one responsible for keeping you in step with the Spirit is you. And therefore, we examine our lives through Scripture, and where we see that there are areas that we must repent, we repent. And where we see that there's success, we give God glory because we recognize it is God working in us. The worst that the Word can ever do is reveal that you need to be saved. That's the worst the Word can ever do. A Christian should never fear testing their own work. Only those who deceive themselves fear testing. So living by the Spirit is a humbled life, and it is an examined life, and yet we're not done, and I've intentionally gone backwards, because the very beginning of chapter 6 is the most critical part of this life, and we need to be humble, and we need to be examining ourselves before we can accomplish what the Spirit commands us to do in verses 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we live by the Spirit, we will have a humble life. We will have an examined life, but most importantly, it will be a shared life. Since I've been working backwards in the text, I want us to notice verse 2 before verse 1. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. The word here refers to a tremendous load. It is a hardship, a great hardship. The idea actually you have in verse 2 and verse 5, these two words, one is burden, one is load. And when you look at it, the burden in verse 2 is greater than verse 5. Probably everyone here today is dealing with a hardship. And I would guess that there are several who have more than one. The Christian life is supposed to be one that is shared. Not because we have all the answers, but because in our humility we grasp, we cannot bear our hardships alone. God designed humanity to need relationships, and specifically that we share one another's hardships and so fulfill the law of Christ. Notice how striking that statement is. It is not the intellectual pursuit of doctrine that fulfills the law of Christ. Nor does evangelism. What fulfills the law of Christ is bearing one another's burdens. It requires us to know one another. It requires us to be humble. Go back to Jamil and Andrew. How did Jamil bear Anthony's burden? By forgiving him. Those united to Christ are not to live in deceit or envy, but to come together and help one another. And the only way that this ever works is that you are humble before God and man, and that you have examined your life. Only those who humbly grasp they are unworthy can come alongside a struggling sinner and support them. Only one who examines themselves and knows their own failings can aid another in their sin. Only those humbled by the grace of God can look at another struggling sinner and hold out their hand and say, "I am with you until the end, or until Christ returns." See, if you're not humble, eventually other people's burdens annoy you. If you're not humble, eventually you quit because they're too much. What's happening? Your pride, conceit. How did Paul describe his salvation to Timothy? Do you remember that in 1 Timothy? God saved him so that God could show his patience. Do you understand that you are saved so that the world sees that God is patient? And yet we can be so conceited that we're only willing to support somebody for a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, but that's it. Pride destroys. Pride is no part of the Christian life because we are called to bear one another's burdens. Beloved of God, you will never bear one another's burdens if you do not keep in step with the Spirit. A conceited person will get tired. But worse than that, a conceited person will never ask for help. Everything will be okay, even when they're completely overwhelmed. Right? Because you have to look the part. As a matter of fact, I came in and I'll confess to you all, it was Jonathan. How are you doing? You know what, Jonathan? I am sick. I really, my family can tell you, I am. And yet, what did I say to Jonathan today? I'm good. I've got gravel with my system. I feel like kind of woozy right now. Do you see how easy it is? How easy it is to be conceited. We are called to bear one another's burdens, and yet our pride stops us from sharing. And our pride stops us from caring. Those united to Christ are given this special privilege of having communion with one another because of Christ, and therefore we're obligated to one another. Think of our confession, chapter 26, sections 1 and 2. If you haven't read it this afternoon, read it. You know what it tells you there? That you are obligated. You are obligated to those united to Christ. You are obligated to do works for their good, public and private. You're to bear one another's burdens. Now please hear me, that is not excusing sin. It is helping the weak because you understand you are just as weak. It's a horrible thing in the visible church for people who are being crushed by their burdens to be passed over. And it's a horrible thing for those being crushed by their burdens to not cry out for help. And all of it conceit or envy. We're too proud to help, or we're too proud to ask for help. Brothers and sisters, hear me, that is sin. It never brings glory to God. We need to stop. To live by the Spirit means we will not only bear each other's burdens, but we will humbly receive aid. The greatest example of bearing a burden is dealing with sin. Please hear me, that doesn't mean that all burdens are sins, but we grasp that indwelling sin is the heaviest burden of all. And I want you to notice the qualification in verse 1. It is not left to the session, and it's not left to the minister, but it's you who are spiritual, you who walk by the Spirit, you who have a humbled life, you who have an examined life, you who are sharing your life, you are to restore the sin. When we see a brother or sister in sin, we are not to leave them. The one who lives by the Spirit are to gently restore the sinner. And please notice in this passage, Paul's not concerned, and therefore neither should we, about how the sinner reacts. Paul's concerned about how we react to the sinner. We are to restore them in gentleness. We are not to be conceited, wag our tongues, or point our fingers. We are to come alongside and gently call them to repentance. Matthew 18 is our guide. See, the Christian life is never about isolation, but communion. And the greatest part of communion is bearing one another's burdens and restoring the sinner in gentleness. We are to imitate Christ. Think about how Christ saved you. Think about, use this example. Think of how Christ restored Peter. Did he thunder at Peter? Was he blunt to Peter? He was gentle. He gently pursued Peter. So we who are spiritual, we who keep in step with the Spirit, must do the same. Think of how Christ is described in Matthew 12. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. You and I are bruised reeds. You and I are smoldering wicks. Are we gentle with other bruised reeds? Again, to make it personal. Unfortunately, in my life, when my children have fallen into sin, they haven't met a gentle Christ-like father, but too often a harsh man who thunders. Parents, what about you? Do you gently restore your sin? Or do you... Because Jesus is described as one who will not break a bruised reed. And what is a sinner except a bruised reed? Do our words and actions break them or restore them? Humble, examined, shared life is only possible if you're united to Christ. To be full of conceit and envy and try any of this just ends in a disaster. To live this life requires Christ to be in you. It's a glorious life. It's a challenging life. It's a life for all who claim the name of Christ. This is the life we are to live. Do not be conceited and say, you try first. Instead, be humble and walk in the Spirit. Do not be conceited and say, it won't work. Instead, examine your life and see where you need help. Do not be conceited and say, I don't need anyone. Instead, in humility, ask for help. Do not be conceited and leave a brother or sister in sin, but with the gentleness of our Savior, restore them to Christ. You will be amazed at how God transforms you and our church when we keep in step with the Spirit. Let us pray. Most merciful Father, God, we come before you recognizing that what Paul calls us to do is only possible with Christ in us. And Father, I come before you to confess for myself and probably for most in this room, we so often fail in gentleness. We so often fail in humility. We think our way is the best. Forgive us. And Holy Spirit, renew within us your great salvation, so that we can go forth from this place and bear one another's burdens to the praise of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray.